What happened?
We didn't have time to fix. Wait a minute. Are you running on auxiliary power or not?
The missile took out our nuclear generator. It was a conventional warhead. Their nuke is on its way, launched 4 minutes ago.
You mean we've still got 2 hours to get this kludge working?
Wixon felt elated. Can you do it?
Despite his cumbersome spacesuit, Wixon jumped to his feet. Not so difficult a trick in the low lunar gravity.
We'll do our best, he cried, overjoyed at still being alive.
Killifer checked his wristwatch before starting out on his regular rounds through the house. With Rodriguez watching everything through the security cameras, Killifer wanted to make it all seem normal, dull routine.
Don't give the dumb spick any reason to think anything's out of the ordinary. It was a big house, and Killifer didn't want to look hurried. He made his way from the kitchen through the dining room and living room, then into the foyer, where he carefully checked the front door to see that it was properly locked. Across the front hall and into the library, then the entertainment room, checking each of the French windows that opened onto the patio. Unconsciously licking his lips, he started up the back stairs, past the monstrosity of a grandfather's clock where the security team kept a pair of submachine guns stashed away. Maybe I should take one of them, he mused. But he decided against it. His pistol held 50 rounds, plenty to do the job. Besides, taking one of the stutter guns from the clock would alert Rodriguez, if he was watching the screens instead of his favorite video show. Be just my luck to have him spot me. So Killifer passed the loudly ticking clock on the landing and went on up to the second floor. All the bedrooms up there were unoccupied, he knew, except the master bedroom, but his job was to enter each one and check each window. His palms felt slippery with sweat as he neared the master bedroom. Rodriguez can see me go in there if he's watching the screens like he's supposed to. I'll have to do it fast and then duck out before he figures out what's going on. Quite deliberately, Killifer switched off the palm-sized two-way radio he kept in his shirt pocket. At last he stood before the master bedroom's double doors. He had memorized the electronic locks combination from the list kept in the security office. Okay, he told himself, licking his lips once again. Don't just stand around. Do it. Swiftly he tapped on the miniature keyboard and saw its light turn green. He pushed the door open. It was a spacious room. Lev Brudenoy lay sprawled on the oversized bed, stark naked. Nothing but gray, mottled skin and bones, Killifer saw, and that ratty little beard. The wall screen on the other side of the room showed a view from the moon. The crater floor of Alphonsus, it looked like. No sound. Either it was muted or nobody was saying anything from Moonbase.
What is it? Brudenoy said, sitting up, frowning, reaching for the bedsheet to cover himself.
Joanna was nowhere in sight. Killifer looked across the room. Chaise longue, little desk and chair, a couple of upholstered chairs, bookcases, bureaus, mirrors, but no Joanna Brudenoy.
Where is she? Killifer hissed, sliding the pistol from his holster.
Brudenoy's eyes widened. Killifer saw several doors, closets all closed, and one other door, half ajar, the bathroom.
Get out of here! Brudenoy shouted, reaching for the phone console on the night table. Where is she?
Killifer yelled back, heading for the half-open bathroom door. Brudenoy banged the red emergency button on the phone console as Killifer strode swiftly across the bedroom carpeting.
Joanna! Brudenoy hollered. Look out!
And Killifer felt something thump against his shoulder. Whirling, he saw Brudenoy reaching for another book to throw at him. A skinny, naked old man trying to stop him by throwing books. With a wild laugh, Killifer fired twice. Brudenoy's chest erupted in blood, and he jerked back against the bed's headboard, arms and legs flailing like a rag doll. Killifer pumped another 2 shots into him for good measure. Joanna screamed. Killifer turned and saw her standing naked, frozen in the bathroom doorway.
Remember me?
Killifer taunted, leveling his gun at her. For a moment he thought how much fun it would be to rape her, to make her kneel to him, turn herself inside out for him before he blew her head off. But there wasn't time.
In that moment, Joanna slammed the bathroom door. Killifer heard its lock click. Laughing even louder, he fired 3 shots into the lock, then kicked the door open. He stepped into the bathroom. And Joanna, standing beside the door, drove the point of her hairstyling scissors into his wrist with every molecule of strength in her. Killifer's hand went numb and he nearly dropped the gun. Her face white with fury, Joanna snatched a hairbrush and whacked it as hard as she could against his bleeding wrist. Killifer felt pain flaming up his arm. The gun fell from his fingers. He staggered back, but not before Joanna grabbed the end of the scissors still sticking in his wrist.
"Bastard!" she snarled, working the scissors back and forth. "Murdering bastard!"
Pain searing his whole arm, Killifer cuffed her with his free hand, driving her back against the marble sink. But she held firmly onto the scissors, yanking it from his bleeding wrist. The gun was on the tiled floor. Killifer bent to reach for it, but Joanna kicked it away.
"That's not going to help, you bitch," he growled at her. "I'm not leaving here until you're dead."
He lunged at her, but Joanna raked the point of the scissors up his chest and throat and lodged the blades in the underside of his jaw. Yowling with pain, Killifer staggered back into the bedroom. Rodriguez was at the hallway door, submachine gun leveled at Killifer's waist.
"You killed them!" Rodriguez shouted, eyes wide.
"No," Killifer choked.
"No, wait."
"General's orders," Rodriguez said. He fired 6 rounds into Killifer's midsection. Killifer felt nothing. The bedroom tilted, and he was staring at the ceiling. It faded, though, slowly turning dark. He thought of General O'Connor telling him,
"The fewer people know about this, the better off we are."
"Rodriguez is one of them," Killifer realized. "That son of a bitch O'Connor planted him here to get rid of me once the job's done." It was his last thought. Control Center. "When we power up," Wixon was telling Doug, "you're going to be totally blacked out." There was no video from the mass driver. Doug spoke to a blank screen. "We're plugging in the fuel cells," he said. "They can keep us going for the few minutes your gun will be running." He sensed Wixon nodding.
"Well, we're doing everything we can here. That missile blast shook 1/2 our connections loose, and the other 1/2 aren't all that sound either."
Doug grimaced, then recalled, "I remember a professor of mine saying that if something scratches or bites, it's biology. If it stinks or pops, it's chemistry. And if it doesn't work," Wixon finished with him, "it's physics." Neither of them laughed. "We're going to power up in 15 minutes, Wixon said. "Will you have the fuel cells online by then?"
"If we don't, I'll call you."
"That only leaves us 6 minutes to fire at the nuke," the physicist said, "assuming they hold off detonation until the warhead's only 300 meters above the crater floor.
If they detonate higher, they'll shower the peacekeeper troops with radiation."
"They're not digging in?"
Doug shook his head.
"No.
They're staying buttoned up tight inside their vehicles, as far as we can see."
"I'll bet they're praying for a low-altitude detonation even more than we are."
"Probably so," Doug agreed.
"All right," said Wixon. "I've got work to do. Call me if you can't get the fuel cells patched in."
"Will do." Ginny Anson leaned over Doug's shoulder.
"The fuel cells are up and ready, no sweat."
"Good," he said, wondering if Wixon heard her before he clicked off. For the 1,000th time, Doug checked out every corner of Moonbase through the screens on the console before him. It felt as if the wheeled typist chair on which he sat had welded itself to his butt and spine. The level of tension in the control center was palpable, but it had been so electrically high for so long that it seemed almost normal. People went about their duties mechanically, studying their screens or fingering their keyboards. Hardly a word was spoken now, and no voice rose above an edgy, tightly controlled murmur. Doug saw that the cave was almost filled with men and women milling about aimlessly, sitting huddled in small groups, staring up at the wall screens. Must be really tough on them, Doug thought, waiting with nothing to do. Then he looked at the camera view from Mount Jaeger. The peacekeeper troops were also waiting, and the nuclear missile that would end everyone's suspense was hurtling toward